the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
We're back at it again. Oh, yes. And now we have Gerda Felix, all the way from Canada, by way of Haiti, and then somewhere in the middle, France. She is a spiritual life coach. She's a wonderful person. We're going to talk about some of the challenges that people have with their spirituality. We're going to talk about her love for volleyball. We're going to talk about some great things. We're even going to talk about the cultural culture of Black people in Canada. She's a wonderful spirit, and I want to welcome her to the Edge. Hello, Gerda. How are you, baby?
Hello, April. I am wonderful, and thank you for having me at your show.
Absolutely. I love great people on the Edge. Give my Brains an introduction to who you are, where you are in the world, and what you're pouring into others.
Wow. That's a lot of questions. Okay. So who am I? Well, I am, of course, Gerda Felix, daughter, and also I come from a family of six. We are six brothers and sisters.
Wow.
And I'll tell a little bit of how I came to life coaching. I was in 2012. I was going through a hard time in my life. And then I decided to go see Oprah because she came in Toronto with Iyanla and Tony Robbins and different people. When Iyanla came on stage and she started to do her, I call it magic, but she started to do spiritual coaching.
Right.
I thought, I can do this.
That's right.
I can do this. And then I went to school, holistic learning centers, that's where I studied. And then I became a certified spiritual life coach.
Wow. So a spiritual life coach, define that for me. What does that look like in the real world? Because everyone's spiritual connection is different. Yes. Some is based off of religion, doctrines. Some are metaphysical. Some are, you know, voodoo. What does spiritual coaching look like to you?
Well, basically, spiritual coaching is what you cannot see. Mm. We can't see our feelings. We can't see what's going on inside of us. We can't see those kind of things. We can't see what's preventing or what's helping something to happen. This is what spiritual is to me, is the unseen to the seen.
Oh, boy.
Many times we don't even think about that, but right. There are many things that are at play. Mm-hmm. So that's why a lot of times when we are triggered, the one thing I say, take a deep breath. I don't say that for people to relax, to just chillax, as they say. Right. I say it so that we become centered to listen and to know what we are supposed to do next.
Because again, listening is key. Mm-hmm. Listening is also another great trait that you've learned as a Toastmaster.
Yes.
You and I both share in Toastmasters International. Mm-hmm. Brains, it is one of the most phenomenal nonprofit free organizations to teach you how to orate. That's how to speak.
Yes.
It teaches you parliamentary procedure, how to enter a stage, how to exit a stage, how to reduce those filler words like, you know what, like, whatever. That drives me crazy. Sometimes I'll see politicians on the television or great commentators, and every other word is You know, it teaches you a presence and how to tell a story from beginning to end. What are some of the things that you've learned being a Toastmaster that you really enjoy and has kept you going?
The art of storytelling.
Yes.
Because this is something, even now, I am actually, tomorrow, I'm going to be in my Toastmasters meeting, my main club. And one of the things I will be doing, my speech, is to learn to speak reading a story.
Okay.
And so that when we read a story versus telling a story, there's a way that we can share it with our audience so that they can understand what is it that the author wanted to convey. Did I get the emotions right? My tone of voice, the pauses, did I do them at the right time? It's an art. It's an art to do all of this. So there's a difference between storytelling and there's a difference between reading a story to bring it alive. And I like to do both.
Right.
And one thing I understand is that we all tell stories. Yeah. Most of us, we don't know that we're telling stories, but we are telling stories.
Some of them know that they are telling a story, okay? Not for sure.
Mm-hmm. So because of that, that's why for me, storytelling is very important, because as I am coaching, I am very mindful to listen to the story that the person is telling me.
Right.
Because we could be in, for example, we are in 2019. And I'm speaking with someone, and suddenly what they say, I know they are no longer in this realm, in this 2019. They tell me a story about what happened in 2004, and they did not even realize that they had switched.
Right, right.
Right? So that's why it's important for me. And as you mentioned, listening is key.
Listening is key. You've listened to a lot of things. You've heard a lot of things with regards to cultural divide. I love the fact. Now, have you shaved your head as an option?
Actually, no. I've shaved my head because for me, it was becoming harder. As I used to play volleyball 5 times a week,
mm-hmm.
and I used to have twists. That's how I used to do my hair. And playing volleyballs 5 times a week and washing, it was hard. So I decided, and with fibromyalgia, it was hard for my hands. I decided to go bald. And as I like to say, you have to be bold to be bald.
You know what? And I think that it is so beautiful.
Thank you.
So beautiful. And it is a charge. It is a sign of boldness. It is a sign of self-assurance. Mm-hmm. That, you know, it doesn't matter what you think, whatever the reason is, this is who I am. I am vulnerable. You can see my brain. I love it. But I asked you that because living now in the world, you know, here in California, this is the strangest thing. Our governor had to sign legislation to allow natural hair in the workplace without being reprimanded. Oh, yes. In 2019, almost 2020, we have to have a white man, I love you, Governor, but still, sign on the dotted line that black folks can wear their hair the way that it is culturally designed. What is the cultural climate there in Canada? I used to work in Canada. That was my territory. Shout out to Canadians, hey! But with that, I was the American. I wasn't the black woman. There wasn't the stereotype. What are some of the challenges that African-Americans, Black, Haitians, Africans, anybody with a dark skin color experience there in Canada from your experience?
Well, that's very interesting. I know, I can tell you that I have experienced this once. I was working somewhere and one of my employees came to tell me because I had just moved, got transferred there. And one of the employees told me that he did not want to work with a Black person.
Yikes!
I said, what? Okay. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. Because here's the thing with me. I prefer when you are upfront because I can be upfront with you.
Mm.
Yes. I prefer this. What happened after a month that he worked with me, he came to me and said, I am so sorry for what I've said when I first met you.
Mm.
And he said, after working with you, I realized we are all the same. Indeed, we are. And I think this is the message. The message is we are all the same and we are one. As one group is dominating or wants to dominate the other, they are also suffering. because it comes from fear.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And what you are afraid of has control over you.
And it's fear and it's ignorance. And ignorance yes. just means not knowing, you know, not yes. being exposed to it. I don't understand. I deal with a lot of millennials. Mm-hmm. I deal with Generation Z. And they are not having this conversation. They're talking about clean water. They're talking about sustainability. They're talking about gun control. They're talking about what's on social media. They are not spending their time dividing and editing individuals based upon the color of their skin. Yes. So I'm really, and you know, shout out to your prime minister, bless his heart. He was in blackface. And folks got ugly, but you know what? I'm not showing up ugly. Actually, I took it as a compliment that he didn't do it just one time. He took to do it three times. And I don't think that he did it with any malice in his heart. I don't know him. I'm just from the television screen. But every time someone does that, that's not going to be my trigger, okay? Mm-hmm. That's not what's going to set me off. And so I'm glad that you're a good listener because I make it a teachable moment, okay?
After I
read you your rights and give you a quick education, we move on to the next thing, and that's growing and glowing. You've exactly. had a little bit of challenges with growing and glowing. You share with me that you have a condition called fibromyalgia. Mm-hmm. I know some friends of mine that have experienced that and have been diagnosed. It's one of the hardest diagnoses. And it hurts from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Can you tell us a little bit about what fibromyalgia is and what you do to try to get through it day to day?
Yes. It affects the whole body. It's nerves, it's muscle. It really affects the whole body, not only in pain, but in also in being tired, feeling drained, having brain fogs. Trying to take control of your body, as in walking, how you walk.
Wow.
There are certain things that sometimes I cannot do. And there are certain times it's best for me to stay home. And one of my practice, it used to be one of my practice, is that on Saturday, I would stay home. And I would be in bed until probably 1 or 2. And I had to give myself permission to heal. I had to give myself permission to take care of myself.
Wow.
I had to give myself permission to say that it is okay. It is okay because this is what my body is asking me now. And so for me, fibromyalgia, it is, I don't like to say it's a curse, but it had taught me, it taught me how to listen to my body. And to adjust so that I can make the next move, so that I can be better next week or even the day after. That's what it taught me.
Well, it didn't impact your volleyball because that is a very intense sport, okay? That's a lot of jumping, leaping, reaching. It's not like bowling. So how in the world are you able to, you know, do volleyball? You're strong.
Yes, and really, I can't say, I don't like to say I'm strong, but I am strong.
No,
I am strong, and I can say that because when I put my mind to something, I don't stop until I do it. This is who I am. And that, even through a lot of different things that have happened in my life, I do things because I said I was going to do them and because I put my mind to it. How do I play volleyball? I cannot play volleyball 5 times a week anymore. That's one thing I can't do. So now I only play once or even twice. And there's the other thing. Our body remembers. There's something called muscle memory. So right. because my body has been trained, my body has been trained in playing volleyball, I can still play volleyball once a week. I went to do water aerobics one time. And I can tell you, I did it on a Saturday. And on the Monday, I had to be at the doctor's.
Wow.
Yeah. Why? Because my body is not used to water aerobics.
Right.
So because of that it hurt me so bad. And when the doctor asked me, what did you do that was different? I had to think about it. until I remember, oh, I went to do water aerobics. So muscle memory is a big thing. That's why we can do certain things and we cannot do certain other things. And depending on what you used to do.
Right. And it's very important that you allow your body, you know, the ability to communicate to you and you listen to it. So when it's time, trust me, when it's time for me to take a power nap, folks know me. Oh, okay. Don't call April between this time and that time, but she's taking a power nap. Mm-hmm. You have to really listen to your body.
Yes.
So, you come from a different culture. You know, you come from Haiti by way mm-hmm. of France, living in Canada. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different spiritual beliefs, doctrines. How has this helped you and also molded you in a way that you are able to be open to anyone that comes to you for service? Because people are going to come to coach with you, Hindu, Jewish, mm-hmm. Christian. It doesn't matter their religious doctrine, but how do you help them tap into their spirit to find out who they are as a person outside of the book that mm-hmm. they
read? Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, the first thing is, I am not here to tell people what they should believe. That's not what I do. What I do is I train people to listen to who they are from the inside out. Glorious Life Unfolding, this is the name of the business, is a love invitation. This is what it is, a love invitation. When you come to work with me, you are going to learn and you are going to accept and you are going to love who you are. It really doesn't matter which religion you are from, because everything I do comes from love. And love is accepting the person where they are at.
Right, right. Well, that's a lot of work too, because some folks need to move from where they are. Okay, they do. And I'm, you know, again, yes. We have these great big $25 generic terms, but people are lost. They're
yes. angry.
They're bitter. Yes. They're frustrated. Yes. They're broke. Yes. You know, yes. They're fat. Yes. It's a lot of stuff that's going on. And so for them to just, you know, come to a place of love, I think that it's a powerful thing in what you're doing to open them up to that so that they can see, okay, I can love myself in addition to these 25 pounds, or I can love myself, I don't have money right now, or I can love myself, I don't need to be with someone else, it's all about me.
Yes, well, and the thing is, we cannot change without acknowledging who we are in the moment. Right. There's no change without acknowledging who we are. Because right. if we keep saying, no, that's not it, I don't like this, I'm not like that, we are not telling the truth. And telling the truth is recognizing who we are and who we are not.
Right.
And come to terms with it and change what needs to change.
Exactly. So where do you see yourself in the next 2 years? Where do you see yourself growing and glowing at?
I see myself on a big stage.
Ooh.
Having intimate conversations with people. And what does that mean? Is that my audience are there with me as I speak to them. And there's no big music. It's only me and my audience.
Wow.
And they come to understand something. And that's what I see. That's how I see myself, really. Yes.
I remember the first time that I spoke to an audience of over 1,000 people. Girl, you could have picked me up with a poopy scooper. I was nervous. I was like, oh no, this is not it. But what I learned is that it's not about how many people are in the audience. It's mm-hmm. about what I'm delivering. If I only mm-hmm. touch one person, it's hard.
Yes.
That's what it's about. You pay attention yes. to the first few people in the row, and then it's like a ripple effect. You
yes.
know, that energy is going to flow. And then afterwards, I couldn't believe how many people came up to me and said, oh, wow, your presentation was so powerful. And can I get a copy of your book? And, you know, this, and can I take your picture? And I was like, this is for me?
Mm-hmm.
So it mm-hmm. is definitely a humbling experience, even when you're on the stage. Yes. It's not about you. You are the conduit. You are the person that is going to deliver the message that is going to resonate with many souls.
Yes, and they know that. And that's the one thing I know that people know. They know when you come, and I always say from a place of love, because what you give them, they're ready to receive.
Right. Or they wouldn't be there.
Exactly, right?
Wouldn't be there. So that is your goal, to be on a big stage. Okay, let's ask you another random question. Three things in life that you just cannot live without, Ms. Felix.
Wow. Three things in life that I cannot live without. Peace and quiet. That's definitely one thing. I would say my Bible, because I take a lot of things, a lot of lessons from my Bible. So that's one thing I could not live without. I could not live without peace, definitely, because for me, this is very important.
Right.
Third thing that I could not live without. Ooh, that's a tough one. That is a tough one. Let me think just one moment.
I say Rocky Road ice cream. Okay, yes, I know. I'm happy, and that's why, but it makes me happy, brains.
Well, you know, I'll say that. Every Saturday, I take time after I have rested. I take time to do my nails. So I like to have nice nail polish.
You like to be pampered?
Yes, yes. So that for me, it when I put it on, when I do it myself, it's taking time for me. I give myself this time to just relax and make myself feel good.
Right. What's one of your biggest pet peeves?
That we are not being our word. When I say be your word, when we say we're going to do something, we do it. Right. And if we can't do it, then we also give that person an opportunity or say, I cannot do it when I say I was going to do it. However, we can do it this time.
Right.
Because for me, it's be your word. Be your word. Right.
That's your integrity. That's your card. All you are is your word, you know?
Exactly.
I can't take you. I can't stand a liar. You don't have to lie to me. I can handle the truth. Believe and trust. Yes. I can handle the truth. But that's a big responsibility. People lie for one of three reasons. One, to feel important. Two, because they're, you know, they're narcissistic and they just can't help it. Or three, they're trying to get over. And so there's really no reason to do that.
Well, to me, it all stems from a lack. Insecurity. A lack of knowing yourself, a lack of not feeling good enough, or even that is a lack, a complex of some sort. Right. Because even a superiority complex is an inferiority complex inside out.
Right. Absolutely. I totally agree. What brings you joy? What puts a big old smile on your face? Obviously me, because you're smiling. That question.
I am most of time in reverence. Mm. In reverence for everything that happens in my life. Mm. I am in reverence for the beautiful weather. I am in reverence for the leaves, the different colors of the leaves. I am in reverence when I am in peace, when I sit with God and I can just talk to God. It's for me, I am in reverence in most moments. I am in reverence. That's what brings me joy, because in every moment, I am content. Mm,
that's heavy, because people are always chasing that happiness high. And I tell them it's like a hit of drug. What's the next thing that's going to make you happy? Is it food? Is it a car? Is it a relationship? Is it money? Is it this? Is it that? They're never content. They never want to be at that plateau where they just level out. And that is really the greatest place is being in the presence. Mm-hmm. I want them to be in your presence. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you.
They can visit me at thegloriouslifeunfolding.com. And from there, they can even fill out. There's something that they can fill out. And then, so it will come to me. I will receive the email. That's how they can see me. They can even go to the Facebook page, Glorious Life Unfolding.
Okay.
And that's how they can join me. They can join me. They can reach me. They can be in my presence. Wow. Because when they are in my presence, I show them the mirror of who they are.
Well, brains, we want a reflection of a beautiful, peaceful woman that is in reverence with a shaved head, that is peace, that is beautiful, that likes her nails done, that is on the edge. Gerda, you have just been a wealth of information. I love you from the bottom of my socks because my heart just isn't deep enough. How about that? Thank you for being a Toastmaster, and thank you for toasting us with your presence here today on the edge. Would you like to leave us with any sort of word of encouragement for my brains?
In everything that you do, show up fully, show up wholly, show up gloriously.
Wow. All right. I'm going to take that with me. Thank you so much, brains. I'm telling you, the shows are so heavy, you're going to need a crane to carry them. Okay. We've got great information all over the planet, all over the world. We've got Ms. Felix is coming in from Canada. We've got Japan. We've got Israel. We've got Africa. We've got just everything for you because I love you and I want you to be smart. I want you to be whole. I want you to be healed. And I want you to be able to be a good communicator, learn how to listen, and whatever comes out of your mouth, it better taste like butterscotch. Okay? So I love you. Thank you so much for being on the edge with me today, precious.
Thank you.
My brains, have a glorious day.